All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This is Jeff Johnson from A Film By Podcast, and for the dearly departed Flo Hyman, you're listening. you're listening to the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. I had it locked until you started laughing at me.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast, we try to stay apolitical, but there is an important event coming up, and you guys really have to know what our stance is on this, and we're going to give it to you later on in this podcast, but this is a decision that everybody should make. It's very important, and even though normally we stay apolitical, we have to take a stance on this. We need you to decide by the end of this episode, do you love Nickelback or do you hate them? Hello, everybody. We are back with the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast, here to talk about Nickelback on our Are They Worth the Hate series. We have covered Milli Vanilli. On that one, we decided they were not worth the hate. We will be covering Creed next week.
That's right.
Asking the big question, are they worth the hate? Nickelback was the number two spot for the most hated bands, according to Rolling Stone.
I don't want to show my cards, but that is absolutely ludicrous, D.
Okay, so if you are joining us for this podcast and, you know, you're not just your standard fan, even if you are just our standard fan, you are probably one of three things. You are either someone who loathes Nickelback, or you like them a lot, or you're on the fence, maybe. You haven't really given it much thought, but you really don't know why everybody hates Nickelback, and so you're here to find that out. And so whatever camp you're in on that one, let me just ask you a question, okay? Are you a follower, or do you listen to music with an open mind and make decisions for yourself?
Yes.
Because if you're among the group of people hate Nickelback, you might be somebody who says something like, when asked the question, why do you hate them? You might be somebody who says something like, well, because they're formulaic, or because they're vacuous, right?
Right.
So clue number one, you said they're formulaic. Can you name me a band that's not formulaic? I mean, AC/DC?
Yeah. Oh, hugely formulaic.
Completely formulaic. Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Black and Beyond, Metallica. Very formulaic. But their songs are incredible.
Right.
Okay. Tell me what the formula is that they're following. If it's so freaking easy, why aren't you going and making millions of dollars playing music?
Hey, that formula sold 50 million albums, D.
Then the next one. Vacuous. Did you just pull out the dictionary for that one?
If you ever listen to Dr. Feelgood, for example, there's a couple of songs on there that are about nothing but strippers.
Are the songs meaningless? Yes. Are some of them less than meaningless? I could pull a handful of songs by Nickelback and say, compare these to all of the Van Halen songs written from 1978 to 1984, and you tell me which is more vacuous. David Lee Roth was deliberately vacuous in the lyrics that he would write to those songs. These are not reasons to hate the band.
Right.
You don't like them personally. Yeah, hey, they got into some trouble here and there. What freaking band do you know that didn't have somebody get in trouble? Okay, so I guess I've tipped my hand as well. Obviously, we have a concern about this, but we do need to listen to this with an open mind. I don't love Taylor Swift, but there's a handful of songs that I've listened to, and I'm like, oh, this is good. I like this song.
You can listen to her music and go, I understand why she's very popular.
Absolutely. She has found something that people like, and Nickelback found something that people liked, and because so many people liked it, they became hated.
That's ridiculous. Chad Kroeger sat down and dissected popular songs and said, why is this song popular? What can I learn from it? How can I make my songs better from it? And it worked like a freaking charm. And people hate him for that? That's ludicrous.
So, guys, we're going to jump into basically what we're calling the 10 songs that you got to know by Nickelback, that you got to look at and go, is this worthy of the hate? We're going to go chronologically from the earliest to the most recent that we have picked.
They came out when we had young kids and, you know, radio was starting to become less important to me and I wasn't watching MTV. I had a little kid. I mean, what were we doing? I told you and Amanda Janik that I might be the president of the Nickelback fan club of Norman, Oklahoma after going through these.
Yeah. This band, just as a brief overview, they are from a tiny little town in Canada called Hannah. Population about 2,300 people. Teeny tiny. And it's flat. I'm already bonding with these guys because we live in Oklahoma, right? These guys were born in the 70s, just like us. They're putting together a little high school band in the early 90s, trying their best to get some shows playing cover songs of Led Zeppelin and Metallica. That's exactly what I was doing in the early 90s. Right. That's exactly right. What I was doing.
These guys could be you.
Yeah, they could.
I'll tell you, my buddy Cameron Eckert, Patreon member, he's from Alberta. I texted him the other day. I said, have you ever been to Hannah? And he said, no. And I said, why not? And he's like, I would have no reason to go there.
There's not.
Yeah.
Like they talked about how it was awful when you broke a guitar string because there was nowhere to go to buy new guitar strings. You had to go find somebody else who played a guitar and say, please, I'll give you $5 for an E. Can you just give me an E string, please? They said it was so flat that you could watch your dog run away for a couple weeks.
Did you watch the documentary on Netflix?
I did, yes. It's fantastic.
Okay. I totally enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. These are guys that we could hang out, talk movies and music with.
They put out a couple of albums, and they weren't successful.
That's right. They were not successful.
As a matter of fact, even after they got signed by a very small record label, Roadrunner is the name of the record label, their biggest name was Typo Negative. Do you remember Typo Negative?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. They were never huge, right? And if that's the biggest guy you got, that's not much.
Let's camp out there for a second, because if you're a heavy metal label, your peers are these heavy metal bands, and you're Nickelback? You're not going to be popular with the other crazy heavy metal insane guys.
I mean, there may have been a few guys that had some issues with them, but as the owner of the record label put it, it was like, guys, these guys are keeping the lights on for
us, right?
But they weren't initially. They had an album that did very badly. As a matter of fact, they lost money. The record label lost a lot of money. Had they been on a major label, they would have been cut loose and we never would have heard from them again. But they said, hey guys, it's okay. We're going to do one more album, and this one just needs to be a hit.
Go make some money.
Go give us something that's a hit. And on that album, there is a little song that we're about to jump into right now.
Okay, so that album that you're talking about was actually their third album. That album is called Silver Side Up. The song is How You Remind Me.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. I'm sick of sight without a sense of feeling, and this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
This song was released July 17th, 2001. It reached number one on the Hot 100 and was the lead single for their third album, Silver Side Up.
Yep.
That album was released September 11th, 2001. I don't know if you remember, but there's a little something big that happened on that day.
Right.
And a lot of people tie this song kind of with the memories of the World Trade Center disaster.
Yeah. Okay, so this song is considered their signature song. Chad Kroeger is writing this song, right? And he's just at his house. He's just got an acoustic guitar. He starts kind of figuring it out, noodling it out. And he goes over to their lead guitarist's house, Ryan Peake. And he says, hey, Ryan, I'm going to play this for you. Tell me if it sucks or not. That's it, right? And so he starts playing it. And Ryan is like, that's pretty good. Ryan's wife is up in their loft. And she's like, that's a hit. That's a hit right there. And she called it.
When you say a hit, I mean, it's the most played song from 2001 to 2009. Streamed over 1.2 million times.
In 2002, the rumor is there was not a second of the entire year that this song was not playing on some radio station somewhere.
This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. This time I'm...
that's crazy.
It was inescapable.
It was.
And I asked our buddy Deaf Dave if he's ever heard this song. Tony Stark was sick of hearing this song in the Afghanistan caves. Dave had never heard it before. Okay. Hey, on the genesis of this song, though, so he did go to Peek's house to play it for him. The genesis was he was talking to his girlfriend. They got in an argument. He goes downstairs and he's like, he's so pissed. He cranks up his amp. He's like, I'm going to work on music because I'm pissed at my girlfriend. And he had the four lines to this song already written down in a book. And he thought those were really good. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to use that in this song. And then also I'm going to scream, it's not like you, to say sorry. And he's like shooting missiles upstairs to let her know how unhappy he is. She says, what was that you were working on down there? And he's like, nothing, just a song I was working on. She's like, it was awesome. I loved it. So there you go.
Oh, well, he never made it as a wise man. This is basically like a sarcastic, vengeful, if you've ever been with someone or known someone who just can't ever just apologize for anything.
Right.
This is the song for them. It's not like you to say sorry. And then you just get mad to be around them. And are we having fun yet? It's sarcasm, right?
It is sarcasm.
But the chord progression in the song, it's relatively simple. It's not complex, but it's good.
It's great.
And the dynamics of the song are incredible.
This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me.
One of our guys sent us a meme on this. What do they call the TikToks or the Reel or something? One of those, right? And it's this guy in his car. Like, this is what happens when you pull up to somebody who's blaring Nickelback, and he's like looking out, shaking his head, putting his thumbs down, you know,
right,
until it hits that chorus, and all of a sudden he's banging his head and he's singing along to the song, because that's what you do to this song.
That's it, man. That's it. By the way, I got a little trivia nugget for you. I love the idea that this is the number one most played song on the radio in the first decade of the 2000s, right?
Yeah.
1.2 million times.
Right.
Do you know the number two?
No, not a clue.
The song Drops of Jupiter by Train. But tell me,
did the wind sweep you off your feet? Did you finally get the chance to dance along the light of day and head back to the Milky Way?
Yeah, I remember that one. That one was everywhere all the time. My wife and I were dating in the year 2001, started dating and got married in that same year. And that song was there all the time. And yeah, it was a lot.
I love it. I love that song too. I'm a sucker for these. Billboard ranked it as the number one song of that decade and the number four alternative rock song. It was brought in as a last second addition to that album and ended up being their signature song forever.
Yeah. So they went from, hey, record label, we're really sorry you spent all this money and we didn't make any for you, to, hey, guys, we're going to have to do a world tour. And they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
A world tour. Like, you're going to Australia. You're going to Africa. You're going to Europe. What do you guys want? And they're like, what do you mean? What do we want? And they're like, what do you want on the stage? You've made enough money to pay for whatever you want and you're going to make more. What do you want?
They want a bathroom they can play baseball in.
Yes, yes. A king-size bed, big enough for 10 plus me.
That's right.
So Chad Kroeger, you know, he's been accused of being a frat guy. Not remotely is he that guy at all. But he's a guy who likes to drink beer and have fun like a frat guy would.
Yeah.
And so do I, right? So, but he was like, what do you mean? What do I want? And they're like, you can just, you know, tell us what. And he was like, I want explosions. I want fire. I want a gigantic TV that everybody can see. Like, he's like, I want to be a rock star. And that is exactly what they did. And since that day, no matter how much everybody seems to quote unquote hate them, they've been filling up arenas over and over and over.
Yeah. I've got a trivia question for you. I gave this to you the other day, but I just am so in love with it. I have to share it with our audience.
Okay. Yeah. Hit me.
So How You Remind Me hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yes.
That is the sixth total Canadian band to hit number one on the American Billboard Top 100. Sixth total.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, but there were some that came after.
Yes.
They're the fifth chronologically.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let me try to remember. Because I guessed a couple of these.
You did. Yeah.
I said it had to be a band, right? So Bryan Adams was off the table.
That's right. Got to be a band.
Okay. And without giving away too much, I know that one of the bands is Sheriff.
That's right. I'm With You from 1989. Had a Patreon episode on.
And it was a big secret at that point, but I guess we've just given it away. Guys, by the way, if you want to go listen to some of our Patreon episodes, we cover mostly one-hit wonders and then some other fun songs along with them. You can sign up for as little as $5 a month. Actually, you can sign up for free. You can listen to the episodes for as little as $5 a month, and it's some of our best stuff. You just go to patreon.com/Shirley Podcast and join the community, man. Just hit us up. We love talking to people, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I remember talking during that episode that because I remember that the other band, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
That's right. And the name of the song is You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Oh, of course.
1974. Yes. Okay.
By the way, that song, do you know that song was written as a joke?
No.
Yeah. So you ain't seen nothing, like how he stutters through it. Uh-huh. He was making fun of his brother. His brother had a stutter. They do this joke song as a way to make fun of him. Had no intention to release it. And then the record label hears it and they're like, this is a hit, guys. And they're like, no, this is a joke. And they're like, no, this is a hit. And they're like, well, let's record it without the stutter. They did it without the stutter. And it was like, yeah, it's not as good. Put the stutter back in. Baby.
Wow. That's cool.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's one more. I can't remember who it is. Who's the third one that was?
Well, so you got American Woman by the Guess Who, 1970.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet by BTO in 74. When I'm With You by Sheriff in 89. One Week by the Bare Naked Ladies in 1998.
Nice.
And then a song called Rude by Magic in 2014, which I've never heard of. So this song has been covered by Avril Lavigne, who were married, right? They were married. She and Chad Kroeger were married at one point.
I think is the only time he's been married. No kids.
They were married for a couple years and didn't work out.
Okay. I love talking about this song. This is obviously the song that broke them, but we got to keep on going. Let's real quick hit one that's not a Nickelback song, but basically is.
Right.
And that is the song from the Spider-Man soundtrack by Chad Kroeger called Hero.
I am so high.
So for me, this is the song that I could not get enough of. I mean, this one, I was just like, this is such a fantastic song. Just played it over and over. Any chance I got, I would play this song. This one, as I said, was for the Spider-Man soundtrack. The unfortunate release date of Silver Side Up, Spider-Man, the trailer, had this scene in it where Spider-Man is, like, basically, I think, saving a helicopter from crashing. And so he spins webs between the Twin Towers to catch the helicopter to save it.
Right.
But then, of course, we had 9/11 happen, and they're like, oh, we got to cut that out. But it's, just two times that the September 11th attacks have played a factor in these Nickelback songs.
This song was so big that summer of 2002, my son went as Spider-Man, little guy, like 1 year old, dressed up, and I made a little video and I put it to this song. This song peaked at number 3, July 13th of 2002.
I want to know what the two songs are.
Do you? Because tell me if you've even recognized these. So number 2 is Without Me by Eminem.
I don't know that one.
And number 1 is Hot in Here by Nelly.
Nope.
But we knew this song loud and clear.
Right. Yeah.
The cool thing to me is this is a collaboration. This is not Nickelback, like you said.
Right.
This is Chad Kroeger and Josie Scott, who is the lead singer of a band called Saliva. And I saw Josie Scott talking about they were on the same tour together and like Saliva had opened for Nickelback. And Chad Kroeger was like, hey, I've got some ideas. I thought maybe you and I could kind of work on a song together. And Josie Scott's like, yeah, man, let's do this. And Josie Scott said he played that first line, like, I am so high, I can hear heaven. He said he got chills like right off the bat. He's like, this guy is an amazing songwriter. He's killing it right off the bat. This reached number 1 on the modern rock chart, number 1 on the mainstream chart. It was Grammy nominated. It won the 2002 MTV Music Award for Best Video for a Film. To me, this is the song of the summer of 2002.
100%.
Love it.
Okay, moving on. Next song.
Now, this is off their next album called The Long Road, which was released in 2003. And that song is called Someday.
How the hell do we wind up like this? Why weren't we able to see the signs that we made? Try to turn the tables. I wish you'd have cleared.
another banger, man.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics on this one, you just take a little time just to look at these lyrics. They're well-written lyrics. I don't know how anybody says vacuous who has actually looked at the lyrics that they've written. I mean, this is an intense moment. The girl is ready to walk out on him, and he says, I wish you would unclench your fists and put your suitcase back. I don't want you to go. This is a heartfelt thing. Someday, somehow, gonna make it all right, but not right now. I know you want to rewind. Someday, somehow, gonna make it. I just don't get it.
These guys have a knack of writing catchy, lighter rock songs. Think Def Leppard.
If you tuned in to find out why, like, you didn't ever understand it. Like, I can't tell you how many people that I've polled in the last couple of weeks where I've been like, hey, how do you feel about Nickelback? And most of the time, the answer is, yeah, I mean, they're okay. I never really understood the hate.
Right.
Well, I'm about to explain it to you.
Okay, I'm so sitting down ready for this.
So we said that the song came out, this one right here, Someday, came out in 2003.
That's right.
There was another event that occurred in 2003, which is probably the reason for the hate. This goes back to a comedian named Brian Poise. He was a guy who was on the Mr. Show with Bob and David, heavier guy, wore glasses, and he was on a Comedy Central show with Colin Quinn.
All right.
And he does what I would say is they're talking about whether the violent lyrics in songs actually promote real violence. And his joke is, I don't want to talk about the violent lyrics. I want to just talk about bad music that makes you want to be violent. He's like, Nickelback songs make me want to be violent towards Nickelback, right? And that's it. That's the joke. Pretty innocuous, kind of a chuckle and throw it away. Here's the problem. Comedy Central chose that little clip as part of the promo for that TV show, and they ran it for the next 6 months.
No one talks about the studies that show that bad music makes people violent. Like, Nickelback makes me want to kill Nickelback.
2003 is when the internet starts exploding because it's just in your ear. You don't even really realize why, but it's in your ear for 6 months. People are taken to the internet to say whatever they want to say now because it's open forum. It becomes a trend off of this one stupid little joke that was a throwaway, but because it happened to be part of an advertisement that ran for 6 solid months, it got in everybody's ear and everybody jumped on the bandwagon.
This is the equivalent of Lars throwing a dart at Kip Winger's face in the Metallica video.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, everybody in the world is like, I hate Winger.
Right.
Like, wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, you love Winger.
There's this theory or syndrome called the tall poppy syndrome. It's not big in the U.S., but it's pretty well known in Canada and Australia. The idea is poppies that grow in a big plant, but some of them will grow taller than the rest.
Okay.
And to keep the plant looking good, you chop the heads off of the ones that have grown too tall. And this idea is sometimes things become so popular that people want to find a reason to chop them down. And we're talking about a band that the year before was on every second of the entire year. Of course, the response is going to be, let's cut those guys down. Let's make some stuff up. Let's make some hate. And it caught on. And I saw an interview with a guy and they're like, you hate Nickelback? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, why? And he goes, same reason everybody else does. Because the internet told us to.
Yeah.
And that's it. That is the reason that everybody hates, is because it became a viral hate. And let me just tell you guys, if you jumped on that bandwagon, you jumped in with the bullies. Okay. These guys have children that faced hate in their schools from other kids because they were kids of the guys in this band. These Chad Kroeger, because he's the face of the band, would walk down the street and have people roll down the window to say, "Fuck you, your band sucks." That right. song Signed was on all the time, and I grew to hate it. But I would never cuss at the members of Ace of Base.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's just ludicrous. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. But why would you jump on this bullying bandwagon that is spewing hate and violence towards these guys who are just writing songs that people like?
I watched the documentary. These guys are cool dudes. I think they're all a lot of fun to hang out with. And they make fun, catchy, pump your fist, arena rock songs.
Yeah. All right. So what's our next fun, pump your fist, arena rock song.
Okay. This is not a Pump Your Fist song.
Uh-huh.
But this might be one of the best songs of the first decade of the 2000s.
Oh, you're saying these guys have variety in their music. They're not only an arena
That's
rock
right.
band.
That's right.
They actually have different types of songs.
This song blows my socks off. It is a top 10 song for me the first decade of the 2000s.
That song is called Photograph.
Sorry, wrong one.
We covered that one back in season one, everybody. If you'd like to go check out the Pyromania album.
That's right. And I love that song too.
Yeah.
So let's play this one, Photograph by Nickelback.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up.
I better stop or we're going to listen to the whole song.
It's hard to turn it off. The song just, you just said it, keeps leveling up and leveling up.
It's one of those rare songs where the verses are great enough to catch me. The chorus tackles me and puts me in jail. And then at the end of the song, as it's trailing out, you have this wonderful, like, I love this town. I love this place. It affects me emotionally.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this one. This is my favorite Nickelback song.
Oh, fantastic. So this is in the vein of Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen, Summer 69 by Bryan Adams. Yeah. This is about what it was like when we were kids, right? What I love is that it's literally about his life. If you go through the lyrics, it says, criminal record says I broke in twice, must have done it half a dozen times. Chad Kroeger was on the verge of going to jail for a long time before he figured out how to get out of that town and make some music. At 14, he had multiple breaking and enterings. He got caught breaking into his school. And he was like, I didn't even like to go to school. Why would I have broken into it? But it's this sweet, I remember those good old days, even though they were not that great, still good old days. I remember the great things. This band was not always called Nickelback.
Before you go and tell us the history of the band, I've got the story on what's on Joey's head.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So I heard Chad Kroeger say, he came up with the line, look at this photograph. And he's like, what photograph am I thinking of when I'm writing these lyrics?
Right.
And he's like, you know, the photograph that always makes me laugh is the one from New Year's Eve a few years ago with their producer, Joey Moy. He's like, we were so hammered and it was New Year's Eve and we were having a great time. And he had this giant like wine chiller thing on his head. He said it looked like the Stanley Cup. And you take photos and later you're like, what were we doing there, man? I mean, that's right. Good. So that's the answer to the question. What was on Joey's head?
Yeah.
A giant wine chiller. It looks like a Stanley Cup.
So this band starts off in little Hanna, Alberta. Mike Kroeger, Chad Kroeger, and Ryan Peake. And on the drums, they've got their cousin, Brandon Kroeger.
That's right.
And I think Chad had to go live with Brandon for a while because of all of the criminal problems that he was having.
Yes.
But the band at that time was called Village Idiot.
Right.
And they had a different lead singer. Ultimately, Brandon leaves the band later on, just decides, hey, this touring thing isn't for me. This, you know, a couple years later. Before they really hit.
Right.
They have another drummer that is from Hanna that plays with them. And he's on their first few albums. But then, okay, Brandon Kroeger was their cousin. He was playing drums on their first couple of albums, which weren't record label albums, right? This was Heyshire and Curb.
Right.
And then he was like, hey guys, the band life is not for me. I want to go do something else. And then they get a guy named Mitch Gwinden, who played songs on The State, which was what they did in 1998, that album. He didn't get credited, though.
Right.
But he's just another local guy, but again, just didn't feel like he was right for the band. I'm telling you all this to tell you that just a few years ago, he calls him up and he's like, hey guys, you know, I know that the likelihood that you're actually going to do this is low, but I just thought maybe you'd like to come back to Hanna, hometown, and play. but not as Nickelback, as Village Idiot. And they said yes.
I love it.
They all came back. I mean, they're running into their high school friends, and it's the first time they've been back in forever. And Chad Kroeger is like, yeah, I used to break into that window right up there. That's how I would get into this house. When they play all of the old cover songs that they used to play when they were Village Idiot for the community to help raise money for a charity over there.
I absolutely love that.
It's fantastic.
And, you know, everybody comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And they are in the, you know, Canadian Music Hall of Fame now.
Right.
And they're from Little Bitty Hannah.
I can't imagine if I was in that crowd, if they played the song Photograph, I don't know that there could have been a dry eye in the house.
Absolutely.
The nature of the song and them being back after becoming so big and being gone so many years, it would have moved anybody to tears.
Especially when you close with, I love this town, I love these faces. That whole thing just hits my heart.
Absolutely.
By the way, this song hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100. Number 1 was Gold Digger by Kanye West and Jamie Foxx. I do think it's interesting. Ryan Peake, when Chad Kroeger brought this song to Ryan Peake was the one who said, I think the chorus needs to be the bridge, and the bridge needs to be the chorus. And that's sort of the magic that happened that made this song great.
Fantastic.
In October of 2019, Donald Trump tweeted a video that used this song. I don't know what the tweet was about.
Right.
But Chad thought it was hilarious, right? He thought it was a scream that Trump is using his song for some tweet that goes viral on the internet. Okay.
Yeah.
He said, because of that tweet alone, the song Photograph was played an additional 700 million times. Wow. Laughing all the way to the bank.
That's an interesting idea right there. You know, we've talked about other bands like Twisted Sister who have said to certain political figures, hey, I don't want you to use my song. You know, Don Henley famously has said, no, please stop using my song.
Right.
And so it's interesting to me that the bands do this. Now, I get it if you've got this really strong political stance, but I mean, these guys are from Canada. What do they care about? But the idea that they're so widely hated, Mike Kroeger has gone so far as to say, guys, we need to embrace this hate because it's given us legs for the last 20 years.
He's right.
I mean, the album that I grew to love because we're doing this episode and because I was like, well, I guess I should listen to Nickelback and see if they're any good. The one that I grew to love came out in 2008. Like, they've been going a long time.
Sure.
And they've had albums. I mean, they had an album a year or two ago, but I don't know any of the songs that have come out in the last 10 years. But the fact that they've got all of this hate, number one, it keeps their names in people's mouths, just like that viral video from Trump did, and causes people to go download their music 700 million times.
Yeah.
And it also creates a reaction for all of those folks who do like them. They're like, hey, screw you guys. And this is really what rock and roll is all about. If you're not hated at least a little bit, you're not really a rock band.
I posted a meme on our Facebook page 2 days ago that's a picture of Chad Kroeger holding up, and it says, look at this photograph.
Uh-huh.
And it was the Northern Lights that everybody was posting pictures of. That doesn't happen to Candlebox.
No.
You know what I mean?
It does not. Yeah. Or the Meat Puppets.
That's right.
By the way, guys, go check out our Best of 1994 episode that we pulled out a few weeks ago. Ready to move on to the next song? What do we got next on the list?
So the next song was the second single released from All the Right Reasons. That song is called Animals.
So here's the arena rock fist-pumping anthem that I was looking for.
Absolutely. This is about you and your girlfriend doing it like animals.
Well, we've heard a few bands do that exact. I think that's actually the lyrics of one of those animal songs. I believe Maroon 5.
There you go.
Anyway.
Fun song, right? This is a concert song. While you was thinking, they showed some footage of the documentary, and people are dancing, singing, partying, having a good time. And I guarantee there are babies made after Nickelback comes to town, without a doubt.
So this song escaped my listening. Like, they've got a huge catalog, and I'm just trying to prep for this thing. I missed this one. I know that they use this to open up shows because everybody loves this song. They like banging their heads and pumping their fists. And does it sound like a great hard rock song? Yes.
I loved how in the documentary they were talking about how they've gotten big enough where each guy can have their own tour bus, right? And so Ryan Peake, he's got his dog, his wife, his little boy, and they have the little family bus.
Mm-hmm.
Chad has the party bus. Even Mike Krueger's like, I can't go on Chad's bus because I like being married.
Right. Right. That's right. Yeah. Mike and Chad, I mean, obviously they grew up together. And so Mike is the older brother. He's a couple years older than Chad.
Right.
And he was always the guy who was protecting Chad. Chad is the, if there was trouble to be made, he was making it kid. And Mike is that rule follower, right? He's a great dad, wants to stay married, wants to have that very normal life, in addition to being a guy who is an arena packing rock star.
Sure.
At some point, he's like, Chad, you know, before they're famous, he's like, why do you keep doing this? Like, why do you keep breaking the rules? And Chad is like, listen, man, I just got to tell you, there's no amount of trouble I can get in that I can't talk myself out of. And so that kind of mentality led to a guy who was a great front man for a band that wants to be super successful. What being able to BS your way through situations gets you is things you might not get if you just follow the rules. And that's what they needed to make their big hit. So for example, their first album, they financed by asking other people for money. It was a $30,000 venture and they didn't have 30 grand. Chad literally says to Ryan Peake, he's like, hey, man, your parents have the capacity to loan us money. And I can tell you, we're going to make it. We are going to be a success. The writing is on the wall. It was not.
Right. Right.
I mean, that album was an success. The next album wasn't a success. The next one on a record label was not a success. Like, he was BSing his way through it and he kept BSing long enough until ultimately he was right.
Hey, I got to tell you, while we're right here,
yeah.
How did they get the name Nickelback?
So this is the 90s. So of course, you know, one in five guys works at Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of those guys was Mike Krueger.
Right.
And so, you know, what was coffee? It's $4.95. Somebody to give him a five and he'd go, thanks, here's your Nickelback.
One of the biggest bands ever. And the guy's making change, giving people nickels.
At Starbucks.
Hey, you know, one of the moments in the documentary that really touched my heart is that they didn't have great dad figures in their lives.
Right.
And one weekend, it was supposed to be time with dad, and dad doesn't show, and Mike is falling apart at the seams. And mom says to Mike, I don't know why you're so upset. He's not even your real dad anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like, record scratch. What?
Right.
What a terrible time to tell your children the truth.
Yeah. And she said it, you know, she was just like, I did not handle that situation right. I made a mistake. It was a terrible thing to do, and I regret it to this day.
Yeah.
But here's the rest of that story. Number one, the guy that he thought was his dad, I mean, he never really was around that much. He was kind of a ne'er-do-well as well.
That's right.
He worked at the racetrack, like putting horses in and stuff like that. Ultimately, Mike was like, hey, I'm going to try to figure out who my real dad is. And this has just been in the last few years. This event occurred when they were kids,
right.
He finally basically tracked down who his dad was. The sad part of the story was the guy had just passed away the year before, so he never got to meet him.
Okay.
But he now has a new brother and a new sister and new cousins and new family members that have welcomed him in and become, he's found a new family. And it's really kind of this bittersweet result of this whole thing. And the guy who was Chad's dad, right, yeah, who Mike thought was his dad. They're about to go on out on their first, like, we've got this rickety old van. We're going to go from place to place in Alberta.
Right. That's right.
And
5 hours to the next gas station, boys.
And Chad is like, man, I just wish I had a decent guitar and decent amp. You know, it's just kind of not good. And his dad, I mean, they're at a bar. And his dad's like, what kind of guitar? If you could pick your guitar, what kind of guitar would it be? And what kind of amp would it be?
Right.
Chad tells him, and he's like, okay. And how much would that cost? And he's like, yeah, like $4,000. I mean, it's a lot.
Right.
And his dad starts going around to the bar to all of his friends. And he's like, hey, my kid needs money for a guitar and an amp. Help me out. Makes the rounds in the bar, comes back and sets down $4,000 in front of him. I can tell you that having a good guitar and a good amp is an absolute difference maker for being a successful live band. If you've got crappy equipment, people will not like to listen to you.
Yeah.
It made or broken the band in that situation.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. By the way, we talked about how they toured and all these little ratty places around Canada.
Yeah.
They went to one place in Banff, which is,
you know, Banff.
Banff.
Here we are in Banff.
Banff is on my bucket list. I would absolutely love to go there.
Okay.
They went to play this gig. Not one single person showed up.
Oh, yeah. And if you, as the band, if people don't show up, you don't get paid.
Jeez. They kept going.
Yeah.
Next song?
Yep.
Next song is called Far Away.
This time, this place, misused.
So here's a song for the makeout list of 2006.
Released January 23rd, 2006. This peaks at number 8 in 2006. The number one song that week, I actually recognized, Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
This was their fourth top 10 single, and it's about loving somebody no matter what. I was talking to our buddy Jeff Johnson, who claims to not be a Nickelback fan, although I'm hoping to change his mind. He is a fan of certain songs, but wants them to kind of stay in their lane. That was kind of his complaint.
Well, here's, let me just say this on that note.
Yeah.
I haven't met anybody who says I hate Nickelback other than
yeah.
Amanda Janik. And Amanda Janik, after watching the documentary, was like, okay, I kind of want to have a beer with Chad Kroeger.
Uh-huh.
Like, even the needle moved for her. And I don't think that she's turning up any of their songs, but I don't think she hates them anymore. And other than her, I've never met somebody who outright says I hate them.
Right.
It's just the internet.
After watching the documentary, you realize the adversity that these guys have endured. Number one, for being the whipping boy publicly on the internet for being a bad rock band, which they are not. Having bad songs, which they don't. And then you see things like Mike Krueger had a stroke.
Yeah.
Had to learn to walk again.
Yeah.
And then their longtime drummer, Daniel Adair, develops this neurological disorder in his arm, and it's like frozen shoulder. He can't play the drums anymore.
This story made me tear up. I want to tell this story. This is during COVID. They don't know when they're going to play next.
Right.
But he's trying to stay in shape, but his arm is, he says it's like granite. Like he's doing everything he can, but his arm just locks and won't do anything. And he's like, I can't be a drummer. And so ultimately he talks to his wife and he's like, I just have to quit. I have to quit the band. I can't hold them back. And so he sends an email and just is like, hey guys, you know, I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. I have to quit. Send.
Right.
And he's like, within 5 minutes, the phone is ringing and his wife answers the phone and she's like, it's Chad. And he's like, oh God, just tell him I'll call him back. Right. So he gets control of himself, goes and sits in the car, calls him on the cell phone. And he's like, hey, and Chad's like, hey, buddy, heard you broke your dick. And then he's like, this guy, he was their fourth drummer.
Right.
And he came from Three Doors Down.
He left Three Doors Down.
Left Three Doors Down at this very kind of critical moment when they were not really that big of a band and decided to go with them. But because he wasn't an original guy, didn't go to high school with these guys, he always kind of felt like not a full member of the band. And they all love him. You know, they talk about how crazy he is and how funny he is, but he's just like, you know, they've got stories that are just their stories. Those guys went to high school together. And so I always just was like, you know, I feel like slightly like an outsider. But he's having this conversation with Chad and he's like, Chad is like, listen, buddy, we have money. Let's figure out what's wrong. We'll figure out who the best person is to treat whatever it is that you have and we'll get you taken care of. But you know, that's so much. And he's like, yeah, but we want you in the band.
We want you.
We want you.
I love it, man.
Broke my heart. I was like, oh, these are good guys. Even the most reckless, wild member of the band is a decent guy with a good heart.
Yes. Love it. Let's turn to maybe the most fun song we're going to talk about.
Okay. Yeah.
This song is called Rockstar.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never going to win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a brand new house on an episode of Cribs and a bathroom I can play baseball in.
Okay, so this was the Nickelback song that I've always loved. Like, from the first time that I heard it, up until this moment right here, I have loved it. And because we've been covering this band, and because I've been listening to their various songs, this song I've sung in my head more times in the last 2 weeks than ever before, because it is a friggin' earworm. Like, you can't stop singing it once you know these words.
Right.
Fantastic. But this may be part two of why this is a hated band.
Interesting.
I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Because we all just want to be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny because we just won't eat and we'll hang out.
So the interesting thing about this song is that it was released originally in 2006 and did basically nothing. It was released without a video, but the record label was like, you know what? That's a great song. We need to give it a second life.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star. Mm-hmm. Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
So they re-released it in 2007 with a killer video full of celebrity lip syncers
and random people on the street
and it becomes a number 6 hit on the Hot 100.
Yeah.
Listen to this list of celebrities that's in this video. Yeah. Freaking. So you've got Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, who also is featured singing, if you can call it that,
the little deep voice parts.
Tell me what you want.
Yeah.
By the way, he's supposed to be the voice of the devil.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's playing. I want to be a rock star, and it's...
Yeah, I was going to say, in the video, he's sitting in front of, like, skulls and flames and stuff. So, yeah, I could see that. All
right. Yep, right. So you've got...
Tastefully done, skulls and flames, but...
Right. So, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. You've got UFC fighter Chuck the Iceman Liddell.
Yep.
He's got a guy in a headlock, and it's really funny. You have Dale Earnhardt Jr. You have Eliza Dushku. She's the little girl from True Lies. Like, Dana, hang on to the... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you would know that one.
You have Gene Simmons.
Yep.
From Kiss.
Yeah.
You've got Grant Hill, world famous basketball player. You've got Wayne Gretzky.
Nice. Canada.
Mr. Canada.
Right.
You got Kendra, Holly, and Bridget, the Playboy bunnies.
Oh, right.
That were on that.
I just got a Playboy bunny to spend my money for me.
That's it. You've got Kid Rock. You've got the guys from American Chopper. You've got Ted Nugent. You've got Cynthia Taylor, Dominic Swain. All these... Beautiful, great, successful people. And then you got people out the street singing Rockstar.
I love the video. People just lip syncing the song. Did the band even show up for this video? Like, are they in it at all?
I don't know if they are.
All right. So the reason that this is part two of why they're a hated band is because they licensed this song to a furniture company, okay, in the UK. And I don't know if it was before they did the video release and the song became big, like its second release. I don't know if it was in that stage or if it was after it. But if you watch this furniture video, I mean, it's cheesy. It's like low grade, low quality commercial. People are lip syncing the song, playing a lamp as an air guitar and jumping up and down on the furniture. And it's a lame commercial. And these guys are one of the most popular bands in the world, and they're licensing their song to this. And it was just this idea that they'll sell their songs to whoever wants to buy them.
Okay.
Have I introduced you guys to Bon Jovi yet? Because they literally said they will whore themselves out for anything.
Right.
But I'm wondering if maybe it was in that in-between stage where they're like, well, you know, we thought this was a great song, but it didn't really do much. And so, hey, if they like it, they want to use it. Sure. Why not?
Maybe.
And then it turned to bite them because everybody was like, see, they're just sellouts.
This is such a fun song. And I heard them talking about how they have released 33 singles so far. Well, you can't play 33 songs in concert, right. But you can't not play Rockstar. This is a song that they have to play every time they're in concert.
Yeah.
Because we all just want to be big
big rock stars and living hilltop bosses, driving 15 cars. The girls come easy and the drugs come cheap. Well, I'll stay skinny cause we just won't eat. And we'll hang out in the coolest bars and the VIP with the movie stars. Every good gold digger's gonna...
And for those folks who you jumped on that bandwagon to say, you know, look at them selling their music to a dumb little furniture company in the UK, I would like to quote the lawyer from the documentary.
Yeah.
I love the lawyer, man. Like, he's a character. He's got long hair and is kind of heavy and just, you know, he looks like a rock and roll lawyer, but I think that's by design. He's me as a rock and roll lawyer, right? Like, he's a small town attorney.
He reminded me of Doc McGee.
A little bit, except that he's not big. This guy is nothing except for Nickelback. And he was with them before they were big.
That's right.
He's just trying to help them. Like, they came to him because they had a contract and they wanted to make sure they didn't get screwed.
And he was cheap.
And he was cheap. Yeah. Right. So he's talking about, he's continued to help them out throughout this whole process, but they struggled a lot. You know, they were riding in a van that looked like it was going to break down, and they were going to these tiny clubs where nobody would show up, and they were paying for their first CD with money they borrowed from their parents. I mean, they're gutting it out. And he's this guy, just imagine him, right? Like, long, gray-haired, kind of stubbly-faced guy.
Right.
And he's like, everybody pulled together as a team and sort of moved the ball down the field. So to those of you who see the band as some big corporate sellout, you.
Okay, D, so let's talk about the seventh and final single from All the Right Reasons. This song is called Side of a Bullet.
Okay, so we're going to talk about guys who like this band, even though everybody else hates them, right?
Yeah.
And one of the guys that likes this band is a guy named Vinnie Paul. He was one of the founders of a band called Pantera. And if you haven't heard of Pantera, then you are either not from Oklahoma, Texas, or Louisiana, which is where they grew to mild fame before they hit the big scene, but they are a heavy metal band. And almost assuredly, even if you haven't heard of Pantera, you've heard of the other founder of the band, Dimebag Darrell Abbott.
Yes.
Tragically, December 8th, 2004, almost exactly 20 years ago, Dimebag Darrell and his brother, Vinnie Paul, had formed a new band, and they were playing a show, and a guy named Nathan Gale, who had been, he'd been in the military, was kind of a ne'er-do-well, had some mental issues, ultimately got discharged from the military because he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Right.
Tragically, his mental health went significantly downhill after that. And for reasons that are still not completely clear, one night, December 8th, 2004, he went to this new band's concert called Damage Plan, got up on stage and used the 9mm to shoot Dimebag Darrell in the head multiple times.
Right.
Ended up killing at least three people there before he was ultimately shot by a police officer who responded to a 911 call. Impressive time, too. Like, 3 minutes after the 911 call, he's there and he took this guy out, this Nathan Gale out. And this was devastating to the rock and roll community. Dimebag Darrell was a hero to many guitarists out there. He is an incredible guitarist himself, and he was also a hero for the guys from Nickelback. But it was them who Dimebag Darrell's brother, Vinnie Paul, said, I want you guys to have a guitar solo that he had recorded that had never been released. I want you to have it, and you use it in your song. That's the tribute to Dimebag Darrell, and that's this song, Side of a Bullet.
They actually invited Vinnie Paul to play drums on this album, but Vinnie's like, man, there's nothing that I could do that Daniel can't do.
Yeah.
But I do love the idea that they were allowed to sort of pilfer the library and piece together this guitar solo that Dimebag Darrell played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the fact that these guys are friends, right?
Yep.
The Pantera guys are friends with the Nickelback guys. I heard Chad Kroeger say that they got in the limo one time, and the Pantera guys were listening to Christina Aguilera. And he's right. Like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we just love all types of music.
I listened to Richard Marx talk about how Hysteria was like, he pulled the album and he went to his producer and he's like, I want my next album to sound like this. And would blatantly steal ideas from that album. And then later, after his album came out, Phil Collins is like, hey, you should come over to the studio. We're putting together a new album. He comes over and he sees his CD. He sees the Richard Marx CD there. And he's like, okay, guys, thanks. Thanks for planting my CD. Right. I like you to listen to me. And they're like, no, we love how this sounds. We're totally like stealing your ideas right now. So literally he stole from Def Leppard, who then stole back from him on the album that he right. stole them from.
That's right.
And Cliff Burton, I saw an article before he passed where he was listening to the Police. You wouldn't expect the guys from this thrash metal band to be listening to the Police, but guys, people who love music and musicians love music, they listen to all types of music. They're always looking for something that is good. And just because it's popular doesn't mean it's bad.
Right. That's right. This reached number 7 on the mainstream rock chart. This was only released to US rock stations, and it became their 4th top 10 hit from All the Right Reasons.
Fantastic. Great song, tragic story, but what a tribute. Awesome.
Yeah. Next song. Song called If Today Was Your Last Day.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day's a gift and not a given right. Leave no stone unturned. Leave your fears behind.
So this is the first song off of what has become in the last few weeks my favorite Nickelback album.
Right, right. This album is called Dark Horse, released in 2008.
If today was your last day, and tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last?
Yeah. So because Spotify wants to make me happy, right? It says, oh, hey, you liked this song. And I'm listening to a lot of Nickelback songs, trying to get familiar with things before we have this episode. As I work out in the mornings, I've got this 90s workout playlist that I'll play. And I have it where it suggests a song every 3 songs. And they were very happy to suggest a lot of Nickelback songs.
Right.
And I would be like, oh, crap. Dang, this is good. I've never heard this. And as I kept hearing these new Nickelback songs, every single one of them was off this Dark Horse album, and they're fantastic. The whole album is full of bangers. But this is a good 5 years into the let's jump on the We Hate Nickelback bandwagon, so I just didn't hear them as much.
Right.
Rolling Stone flat out said, we will not publish any Nickelback positive articles.
Screw them, man.
Like a guy that works for him, listen to the album. Had intelligent, good things to say about the album and brought his review to the editorial staff. And they said, no, we're not publishing this. He's like, why? What's wrong with it? And they're like, we do not publish songs that put a positive spin on Nickelback. What? Rolling Stone has just lost several cool points in my book for that kind of attitude. That is ridiculous.
Right. By the way, I called you the other day. I'm like, okay, D, you've told me that you love this album and that there's a banger after banger after banger.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know who the producer of Dark Horse is?
And I did not know.
And I was pleased to tell you that it is Robert John Mutt Lange.
Heck yeah.
Mutt Lange. No yeah. wonder that's so good, right?
They brought him out of retirement to produce this album. That's incredible.
I know. And you told me a funny story along with that.
Well, so they hit him up, you know. He's stopped producing albums,
he's
right?
He's made $1 trillion.
Yeah, I mean, he's done enough, right?
Right.
And I'm wandering through the grocery store picking out groceries when you called me back on this one. I don't know how many people heard me tell you this story in the Walmart frozen food aisle.
Okay.
But they call him up and they're like, hey, we want you to produce. He's like, okay, you guys come out here. So they fly out to Switzerland,
yep,
right? And
right.
they're at his place recording songs. And Chad said, we got about 3 songs done, and then we had to go. So you know who Mutt Lange married, right?
He married Shania Twain.
Right. Shania Twain, whose real name is Eileen. It's not Shemmanuel Clemens, as John Ree told us, which was the best joke I've ever heard. But no, her name is Eileen, and they're like, there was some trouble with Eileen going on, right? So I called you up. I said, do you know when that Dark Horse album came out? You said, like, 2008. And I said, do you know what else happened in 2008? You're like, I don't know. They did something with Mutt Lang. I'm like, May of 2008, it was announced that he and Shania, Eileen, come on, Eileen. We're having a little trouble because he was having a little bit of a relationship with her best friend.
Yes.
And she kicked him out of the house. Like, he's there three songs into this album, and he's like, how about we go to your house? And so they fly back across the Atlantic Ocean to go, and he lived with them for like 7 months finish this album up. So this album was produced by Mutt Lang at the point that everything was falling apart with Eileen.
Hi guys, I'm calling you from my car, which has a hammer through the windshield right now. That's hilarious.
By the way, Shania, nearly 60 years old, looking good. Still looking good.
By the way, this song reached number 9 on the Hot 100. This is another top 10 hit. Next song on the album is a song called Burn It to the Ground.
This is definitely one that found its way into the workout playlist. This is freaking awesome. You want to talk about vacuous lyrics? Yes. These are vacuous lyrics. Can I tell you about a song called Girls, Girls, Girls? No. Can I tell you about a song called Pour Some Sugar on Me? Can I tell you about a song called Panama?
Right.
Or Hot for Teacher?
Or Slide It In.
Any of these songs. But heck, do they kick some ass? Yes, they do. And yes. So does this.
This song was featured on the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen soundtrack. And if you ever went to a Kansas City Royals game, Colorado Rockies, Baltimore Orioles, Cincinnati Bengals, Dallas Cowboys, Seattle Seahawks, New York Islanders, Chicago Blackhawks, or saw the movie Date Night, you heard this song.
So there are some people out there that still like Nickelback.
Absolutely there are. This was the third most played song at sporting events in the 2009-2010 range. Can you name the number one one?
It's got to be Hurricane by Scorpions.
It's We Will Rock You. Of course. I do like what Buddy Joey Moai, who was the original producer, said about the song. When he heard the first version of the song, he said, I don't know, guys, it doesn't make me want to pump my fist in the air and crack open a beer. So they kept working on it. Finally, Joey said, now I want to crack open a beer. Now I want to party with my buddies. Now I want to crank the song. And now it's doing all that I thought the song should do. Great song.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A rocker.
This is a song to crack a beer and have fun with your buddies with. 100%.
Right.
Top down. Turn it up. Banger. Okay, so there are no less than 8 singles that come off of this Dark Horse album. Eight singles. I told you, man, full of bangers. I'm not going to go into detail on these songs. I'm just going to give you hey, this made it onto the workout playlist. These are songs that will pump you up and put more weight on the bar. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So number one is Something in Your Mouth. And let me just say this. When I started listening to these guys, I was like, if nobody else in the world can be thankful for Nickelback, at least the strippers can be thankful for Nickelback, because if it was not for Nickelback, they'd still be dancing to Motley Crue and Def Leppard.
That's right. Exactly right.
And this song, Something in Your Mouth, is definitely one of those songs.
I love it.
So this song only made it up to 96 on the Hot 100, but was number one on the mainstream rock charts.
Okay.
The other song, as I said, in the same vein is called Shaking Hands. Yeah, I mean, this is another great stripper song.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what, the Surely We Can't Be Serious podcast, we love our stripper song. This one made it up to number 11 on the U.S. mainstream rock and number 24 on the Hot Rock and Alternative Songs. And so those are two amazing bangers off of this album, full of bangers. But we got to keep going or we'll never get done.
Right.
That's it for Dark Horse. Did you have another song you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I just had another one that really struck my ear and I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And so I wanted to play it for everybody, kind of cap it off. That song is a cover of Don Henley's Dirty Laundry.
I make my living off the evening news. Just give me something, something I can use.
So what a perfect song for this band cover. Number one, I love the song. One of my favorite Don Henley songs from the 80s. Absolutely loved it. Number two, song is very well about Nickelback, even though it's not. Kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down.
Yep.
Everybody loves their dirty laundry.
Yes.
This is almost like a, so it's perfect that they're playing this song that almost defines the media reaction to them as a band.
It's so fun. I love it. By the way, just one little nugget on the original version of Don Henley.
Yeah.
Reached number 3 in the Hot 100. It was blocked by Maneater by Hall & Oates.
Great song.
And The Girl Is Mine by Girl Michael Jackson.
Mine. You love it.
I
do. Love
it. I don't love that song.
A lover, not a fighter.
So, Dee, that wraps up our coverage of Nickelback. And I will tell you that before we started this matchup between Nickelback and Creed, mm-hmm. I had already spiked the football. I had done the post-game press conference, and I had showered and was on my way. Okay? I am here to tell you that that was premature.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to tell you what my final judgment is next week.
When you're saying Nickelback versus Creed.
Nickelback versus Creed.
Because you're a huge Creed fan.
I started off as a huge Creed fan.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, yeah, I am a huge Creed fan.
Okay. So next week, come back for that episode where we'll talk about whether Creed is worth the hate or not. I had their CDs. I enjoyed them.
Yep.
I know the stuff, but you'll have to tune in next week to find out whether they're deserving of all of the hate that they get. As I said, they were the number one spot, nudged out Nickelback for the most hated band. So it'll be fun to dive in and see whether they are worth the hate or not. Thank you so much for this. We can't tell how much we appreciate your support. See you next week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.